Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
If you are a believer in Christ, you have this desire to be a person of faith, more faith. That's what we desire, to be a person of faith, ever-increasing faith. A faith that brings about those things that are not as though they are, and they manifest. That's what we desire. And we look at the Scripture, and we want to move in faith. We want to be a person of faith. The interesting thing is that faith is birthed in us, of course, by God's Spirit and the drawing of the Father and the work of Christ in our life. But faith is, tested. It's proven by how we live in this world, how we talk, the attitude we have, the outlook that we have in this life. And it shows itself, and the fruit of faith comes forth. The interesting part, though, we want to be a people of faith. We don't really want to go through hard times, right? But faith, it is tested. It is, pushed, shoved, tries to be suppressed by, the enemy of our soul, but by the circumstances in this life that we all face. It's a testing of our faith, and yet we want to grow in faith and never have a hard time, never face tough decisions. We want to have faith, but we don't want to stand against the sentiment or the flow. I want you to know this morning that there are all kinds of people in the Bible that we read about, and how God dealt with them and acted on their behalf. It's chocked full of testimonies of people who dared to have faith in the face of impossibilities. There are people in this room, you are facing impossibilities. There are some of you in this room that have faced possibilities in your impossibilities, and you're still here to talk about it. God has seen you through. God has sustained you. God has done things on your behalf. Some things that you have seen, and guarantee things that you did not even recognize that He did. Because He cares about you. He loves you. He likes to reveal Himself. He wants you to know that He's the God of His Word. He keeps promises. He knows how to keep covenants. He knows how to work on our behalf things we cannot do for ourselves. He knows how to do a miracle of the heart and transform a person. Probably the most difficult miracle. Our body, this flesh, He created, He knows how things work. He solved the issue of sin and sickness. It's nothing for Him to just change cells in our body, because they don't have like a will of their own. But you and I do. The people around us do. And He knows how to change a heart. He knows how to transform a life. I want to talk to you this morning about not being swayed necessarily by popular opinion, and when you're toe-to-toe with impossibilities, that you would stand your ground and you would believe the Lord and you would hang on to His Word and hang on to Him. That's what I want you to walk away with this morning. There are obvious stories throughout the Bible, and one of the men I want us to look at this morning is the person of Joshua. Person of Joshua. you were to look in Numbers 13 and into 14, you will see that Moses is instructed by the Lord to rally some leaders from the different tribe and send them out as spies into Canaan, into the promised land, the land that God chose to give his people who he led out of slavery in Egypt. He says, I'm going to bring you to a promised land. Well, they went through a lot of events for those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and bouncing around from unbelief and disobedience and rebellion to submitting to watching God do miracles. Things with no natural explanation that God could do because he's not bound by the principles of nature. That's why we call him supernatural. He supersedes it. And they come to a place, and so he rallies them, and amongst them to send out is Joshua and Caleb. And many of you know this story. If you've never really heard the story or read the story, I want to encourage you to go ahead and read it. And you'll find a segment this morning that I will read of part of the story, Numbers chapter 13 and in 14. And so Moses does this, and he will pick up here in chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. And it goes through and it names these people who Moses selected. Verse 17, Moses sent them to explore Canaan. He said, go up through the Negev and on the hill country, see what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified cities? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some fruit of the land. So they went up and explored the land. And it tells you where they went. They came back. At the verse 25, at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land, for they brought back these beautiful clusters of grapes where they were in season. And they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak, or Anakites were sometimes they are correlated with the Nephilim or people. They were just very large, very strong people. Without going into depth, that's kind of their stature and who they were. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, and they go on and mention these people, where they live. And Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. I mean, this is the land that God promised for them that would flow with milk and honey. He says, go get the report. They bring the report, and they find out that the land that God has promised them does flow with milk and honey. But then they see the obstacles. They see what they see as impossibility. But the men who had gone up with him, after Caleb had said this, silenced the people. We can't attack those people, the other spies said. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, like we've said. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Here's a land flowing with milk and honey. They don't feel that they're strong enough to take it over in their natural abilities. I'll just tell you that God calls us to do things that are possible to us, to exercise our faithfulness. But I want you to know that when you serve God, you are also called to stand toe-to-toe with impossibility. Things he's called you to do, asked you to do, directed you to do, that you cannot do on your own. Face things that you cannot face on your own. He's not a God of abandonment. He doesn't send you without himself. I know that we live in this material world, so to speak, this physical world, and flesh will go the way of all flesh. You know, there will be a day where we will, all of us, we will not know life like it is right now. You know, our bodies, they fail. They get sick. There's a time for our flesh to become ash. I get that. I understand that. It's a wonderful thing to know that God has eternity for those who love him. But in this life, we are supposed to exercise faith, knowing that there's a day where, you know, breath will leave this body. But to that point, we're supposed to exercise faith. We're not just to throw in the towel at every impossibility. I know our ears and our minds understand ill reports that we get about all kinds of things, whether it's health or things that God has put in our heart to do, whatever it is. We can hear an ill report. But we're people who are supposed to be filled with faith, ever-increasing faith, faith that can stand toe-to-toe with impossibility and not fear. Do your part and rely upon the Lord to do what you and I cannot do on our own, to take us beyond our limitations. Granted, the people there were big. They were seen as giants. And the Israelites viewed themselves as very small. But God promised. But God promised. It's not about size. It's about faith. It's about remembering who God is. Remembering that all the waters of the earth he can hold in the palm of his hand. You want to talk about size? See how much water you can hold in the palm of your hand. It's about faith. That night, all the people, if you were looking at chapter 14, all the people got together. And those who were intimidated by the people in Canaan, in the promised land, they began to spread bad reports. They began to plant bad seed. They wanted to get the popular vote. They wanted to get the high percentage. Enough of this spread, and it spread so quickly. Isn't that something about bad news? Isn't that something about negative, critical people? News spread so quick. So it spreads. They get to the point where all the people are talking and starting to make plans about stoning Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. I mean, they were at the point where they were starting to think about who we're going to appoint as a new leader, because we just don't want Moses anymore. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us." I guess this is the part where we sometimes battle as believers and as Christians. We want to honor the Lord and we worship Him and we read His Word and we pray. And we see impossibility, but we don't have a confidence that the Lord is actually with us. I mean, if we have a confidence that the Lord is with us, there is an invincibility. Because, I mean, if God is for you, who can be against you? It's the assurance that God is for you, that God is with you. And maybe the doubt comes not in God or God's ability. The doubt comes, is He with me? You know, there's a way to know that. There's a way to be at peace about that. If we have sought Him, if we have obeyed Him, if we have put Him first, if we have been following Him, if we have stumbled and made things right because of His grace and mercy, and we're at peace with Him, then He's with us. But if we have not obeyed His word, if we have not indulged and fed ourselves and gorged upon His word and upon His presence and upon who He is, we begin to doubt if He's with us. It's amazing what affliction and difficulty will do. It kind of throws us into seeking God. And then we have this hope that He's going to be with us through whatever this conflict is. Wouldn't it be wonderful that we did our homework before the affliction? That we lived seeking Him, that we lived honoring Him, that we lived in right fellowship with Him, lived in faithfulness to Him, that when conflict and affliction came, we didn't have to run to the locker room and try to cram in 1 hour a life full of seeking Him. That we would have sought Him all along, whether it was good times or tough times, that affliction didn't throw us into having to know God so we could make it through, that He would spare us. Oh, please. What if we lived like that? There'd be no room for doubt or unbelief. Do you remember Jesus and Mark chapter 9, there was a man who had a son who was afflicted with an evil spirit, the scripture says, a deaf and mute spirit. It would throw his boy down. And so this man brought his boy to Jesus' disciples. And the disciples could not cast out this evil spirit. Jesus showed up. The man says, "I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything." Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing this historical account of what actually happened. kind of giving us a nutshell version. And Jesus, he just says this unbelieving, he asked the man, do you believe? The man says, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus saw a crowd starting to rally, and he rebuked the evil spirits, and they shook the boy violently, and they came out, and they thought the boy was dead, and Jesus lends him a hand and gets him up off the ground. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. If we could learn, if I could learn to walk with God when things are not bad, instead of trying to cram before the test of affliction or conflict. Trying to cram and make sure things are all okay. So I've been good now, you forgive me, and let's get through this. These Israelites, they didn't have a great track record. I mean, you have to remember that many of those who left Egypt died in the wilderness, not because God forsook them, or had forsaken them, whatever word is right. I told you. Fifth grade education. Actually, maybe third, fifth, you know, fifth grade in math, third grade in language. But God didn't forsake them. They disobeyed him. They rebelled. God continued to do miracles and provide for them, show kindness to them. And all they did was complain. All they did was complain and murmur and gripe to the point that they were ready to go back to Egypt. Go back to what we knew. Go back to slavery. Go back to the old life. You know, what's interesting is believers, we put this faith in Christ. He comes into our life. We're forgiven. We put faith in him. We read his word. We pray. We worship. We go to church. We do Christian things. We try to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, bring a transformation to our life, and then we hit some conflict. We hit some affliction, as if because now we have faith in God, that means I should never have another problem. And then because God doesn't solve it the way you want, or because this problem came, you throw in the towel. You say, forget this. We do the same thing. We go back to Egypt. We point the finger at the Israelites like they're so nasty and bad, but the same tendency can run in people right here in this room. Where's our faith? Do you know why some of them died in the desert? Because of unbelief. Do you know why some of these people right here that we're reading about are not going to cross the river, though they're there? Because of unbelief. Because of a lack of faith. Interesting thing about Joshua is he is at this point, and you were to go and read about Joshua, and of course the famous chapter 6, where the walls of Jericho come down, and Joshua is now the leader of God's people. It's the interesting thing about Joshua, every time they faced a conflict or he faced a tough choice, he always called the people to rise up in faith. When they faced impossibility, he continued to try to call them to increase their faith, to remember God and God's promises, what he's done for them already, the promise that is yet to be fulfilled. You know, a follower of Christ and a fruitful believer doesn't condition their appeal or make their decisions based upon the flow of popularity. If the populace happens to be right, great. But we know the majority is not always right. It's not about carrying the sentiment of the world around us and their philosophies and human thinking. That is not what is supposed to influence how we decide to move in faith for God or not. It's about remembering who He is. Maybe we should consider the culture of His kingdom rather than the culture in which we live in this world. Spiritual advancement requires faith. There's just no two ways about it. You want to advance spiritually? It requires faith. Unbelief can't see anything but the difficulties. Now, those who move in faith, they still see the difficulties. It's not a call to ignorance. It's a call to move ahead into difficulties, knowing that God has directed you, God has called you, and God has made promises to you that He can fulfill because He's faithful. It's His character. It's His nature. He is not going to go against Himself. Spiritual advancement always requires faith. Unbelief sees walled cities and giants. That's what unbelief sees. Walled cities and giants. And I'm referring specifically to, you know, Joshua's venture, Joshua's journey, the handing over of a mantle of leadership to him for God's people. Listen, you can don't sit there and think, well, you know, I'm not a leader, and, you know, I don't hold a pastoral office, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. Listen, this is not just for leaders. This is for every follower of Jesus Christ. Because when you are a follower of Him, you are a leader because of your relationship with Him and the influence that we are supposed to have on this world and those we are with. You have an influence. It doesn't mean you're always called a leader. It just, am I going to have the attitude and the heart that Christ has? The head of the church, the one who leads us. Is He going to find me that my homework's done and I'm ready? Unbelief sees walled cities and giants. Unbelief focuses on obstacles. Now, those of faith focus on God. Those of faith see obstacles, but they don't focus. They're not consumed with them, where they bend their knee to them and they get scared and they get filled with fear. Those of faith focus on God. They see the difficulty, but they focus on God. We know we live in the here and right now, but God help me to see the big picture. Not just the here and now. The here and now is what I feel and how I think and what affects my emotions and what fights against me. It's this moment is very important. But it's just a small piece in the big picture. God calls us to things that our flesh does not like. God will call us and lead us to do things, say things that our flesh just will fight. But if I focus on that, it's feeding the flesh. If I have faith that focuses on God, I feed the Spirit. And He will take us through the obstacle. He'll lead us. Sometimes he's very gracious and leads us around the obstacle, under, over, whatever. But sometimes it's through the obstacle that we tear the obstacle down, that it crumbles before his presence. Faith. Not unbelief, but faith. Listen, as a believer, we are going to face unknown things. But you forget something. Even when you are not a believer, you still face unknown things. But all you have to rely on in that is yourself. And we have limitations. God, he has no limitations other than lying. He won't lie. Because it's not him. There's nothing too difficult for God. There is nothing too difficult for him. I've met with people over the years, and some who I pastored and some who are friends and some who are family. You fight it within yourself. You see this. You get this report, and right away you jump ahead like this is exactly what's going to happen, and now I got to make this tough decision, or I got to, you know, this, it's going to be bad, and this is the outcome, and this is, oh no, this is the way it's going. Did God say that's the way it's going? If he did, then buck up. But if he did not say that's the way it's going, then why are you embracing that when God has promised something different? He probably hasn't promised you and I no tough times. If he promised you that, you better come in here just giddy every Sunday. For the rest of us, it's about faith. It's not about feeling. It's not always about the report. It's not always about the popular thing. What the populace says, the majority. What does God say? And if our answer is, I don't know, then go find out. Sometimes he talks. Go ask him. And if you haven't been with him, let's not assume we can just pop into his presence and say, okay, here's the big question. When we haven't built a relationship and done our homework and loved him and honored him. Listen, salvation is free, but following him costs everything. Salvation is free. He died. He paid for our sins. Salvation is free. We believe in him. But to follow him, it costs. And the expense is just really giving up our flesh. Well, what loss is that, really? Well, it can be painful and it's hard at times. But what about faith? What about exercising faith? Man, when it's our time to go out, leave this world, let's, you know, like they say, let's die with our boots on. In other words, hey, still walking in faith, still laying in this bed in faith, still believing in faith. Still, you know, that's the way to go out. Is in faith. You can be at peace, but you can be in faith. Those who were heroes of the faith, we read about in Hebrews, and there were so many more. It just says this, that their faith outlived them. Their faith outlived their time. That those who came after them will see the fulfillment of their faith. You know the wonderful thing about Joshua and going through this and doing all of that? It's that him and Caleb, they led the way to a future by confronting a negative report. And what it did is it allowed an opportunity for a younger next generation to rise up in faith and serve God. You? If I'm not pointing at you, it just means you're not really young. You? What's your name? Allie?
Alex.
Hi, Alex. How old are you? You. You, Mark. You young couple. You. You know what I want them to see? I want them to be inspired, of course, by God, but by people of faith. Because you will have your chance to stand against impossibilities. I know right now that, you know, impossibilities to you are like, oh, will that boy ever like me? You know, I know. You know, that's your big, but, and that's the stage of life you're in, and it's okay. All right. But you're going to grow up, God give you time, and you're going to face your own impossibilities. And rather than shaking in your boots, yeah, you're going to have to look to God and look in the Word, and then you're going to remember people in your life who stood up against impossibilities. And they had faith. Yeah, Elbone, I'm looking at you. But they had faith. Alex, that somebody had faith. And you will say, they made it. And I will do what they did. I'm not speaking against God's blessing, son, in my life, because my days aren't done yet. But as of right now, I can't leave you a lot of money. Not yet. Not yet. And I'm not saying that I won't. It's just not in my account yet. But what I know I can leave you is a measure of faith. So that when you face impossibilities and you face things that your flesh doesn't like, you will choose faith. That's what I want to leave you. I remember when Dad, he was just pastoring a small church. Not there's anything wrong with that. Trust me, there's a lot smaller, and I'll tell you this. You're just on the verge of flipping over to what they would call a medium-sized church. You know, most churches are, did you know that the vast number, high percentage churches are under 100 people? Under 100 people. In light of that, it's a pretty large church. But that's not it. Because saying Dad pastored a large church or a small church, or that Dad traveled and preached to, 14,000 people, or I traveled and preached to all over in different countries, those things I've done, listen, none of that matters, because that is not what's going to move you in faith. It's what they saw in Joshua and Caleb, and how they spoke in faith, and how they meant it with a conviction. And they spoke on behalf of God and that he could be trusted. Hopefully our children are finding that person in their own home. Listen. It's about faith. Unbelief robs us. When you are standing there and you're scared and you don't know what to do, I want you to know that feeling, it's okay if we know God is with us. Do you understand that faith in Christ conquers sickness, sin, disease, impossibilities, conflict? It does. Faith conquers that. What happens is like he said. We read that he stood up and said, listen, their protection is gone. God is with us. When sin is removed, sickness and disease, their protection to stay is gone. Do you understand that? When there's impossibility and there's conflict and there's difficulty and it's ugly and it's hard and you can't seem to break through, understand that once whatever it's fastened to, once the protection and security that is gone and God is with you, it will not stand any longer. It won't. It's like this. Sin has its place and its protection is unconfessed. The reason it can stay is because it hasn't been confessed. The moment we confess to God our sin, sin is going to go because its protection is gone. Follow? Find out the thing that you face. Find out what is its protection. How come it stays? How come it stands? If you can find that out and remove it and know that God is with you, you will march ahead and the walls will come down. And not because of your own doing. Listen, how in the world, can you imagine being in a military strategic meeting? All the generals, okay? And looking at the map and looking at everything and looking at Jericho in their day and saying, this is the plan. We're going to walk around with the Ark of the Covenant, presence of God. We're going to walk around the city on day one. Not make any noise, nothing. Don't blow any trumpet, just, okay? Day two, we're going to do it again. Okay? They did that for 6 days. And then the seventh day, they walked around seven times, and then Joshua gave them the signal to shout. And then the walls of that surrounded the city fell down. Okay, bring that up at a military strategic meeting. Why could they do it? Because God said, and they had faith. And the protection of the city was gone. Faith. 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 Believe him. Trust him. Not the kind of faith that just says, yeah, God exists. The kind of faith that says, because God exists and I can get to know him, my life will change. The way I think, the way I do things, the way I operate relationships, the way I do business, everything. Everything. I get sickness as part of this side of the sin in the garden. Okay? I get that. We face our flesh. It's susceptible to things. We're still in this body. I get it. I understand it. I just don't see Jesus walking around making people sick. I see him healing people. So, my mind knows that the day will come where my flesh will be laid down. My spirit's eternal. A day will come. But to that day, faith must increase. Faith. Faith. I mean, I don't see people lining up and saying, hey, listen, Pastor, I'm coming down here. Listen, I just want you to pray for me. Pray that I get sick. No. I want to be healed. Don't come to this pastor and say, you know, I'm sick and I want prayer and, I know God can. I don't know if he will. And, you know, maybe this is just my cross to bear in this life, and I'm okay with that. Listen, don't taint the ministry of Jesus Christ with your human philosophy. I didn't come to Jesus come to Jesus because, you know, you can kind of make me well. Transform me. Transform me. I haven't lost sight that there will be a day this gets laid down if the rapture does not come. I get it. There's a day that this is going to wear out. And I'm reminded of it more now that I'm a little bit older. I don't bounce as high or bounce as quick, but jiggle more. I get it. It's got to be faith. I don't know what you face. I don't know what you're facing. Dig in and don't say that's deep enough. Dig in. Dig in. Feed on him. And when you know him, faith just begins to take off. I like when Jesus quoted in portions of the Gospels where he says, may it be unto you according to your faith. He can do more than what we believe he can. So the more we get to know him, the more we know what he can do. What brings confidence in him? Peace, trust. Listen, God is the only one who is invincible. Listen, Satan threw his best at him. Jesus gave himself over to die. And he rose up from the dead. I mean, what more difficult thing is there? Really? I mean, we worry about a lot of things and financial things and all kinds of things. And then when sickness or death threatens to take us, all that stuff we were so consumed with and worried about, it kind of becomes second, third, fourth, fifth place. It's just, you know, we're so consumed with it, and then, oh, life. Oh, death. Oh, no, because death is like the final thing. It's the biggest thing on my plate right now. Well, the biggest thing, Jesus conquered. Death. Put your faith in him. He proved that physical death was not the last thing. that after that, there's resurrection. There's life. There's something beyond what you're worrying about today. And if he's able to do that, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead can dwell in us. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead can dwell in you. So quicken. Quicken, it says. Quicken our mortal bodies. Quicken this mortal life. Quicken this mind, this body. Quicken this soul. Quicken the way I do decisions. Quicken. Strengthen. Encourage. Take hold of me in my relationships, the way I live life. Faith. So what do you face today? Because I guarantee you, though it is really huge to you, it is not something that God can't do.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.